All right, I'm sitting here with Justin Lockey, the guitar player of the band Editors. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, of course we'll speak about the latest record, Violence. For me, it's quite the opposite of the last record, In Dream.
Yeah.
It's not only the title. At the same time, it's the way of production is quite different. How was it? In what way it was different?
I think. In Dream, we locked ourselves away for quite a few months in the middle of nowhere in Scotland, and that kind of influenced the way the record sounded. So it's quite sparse, quite floaty, quite downbeat. And on this one, I think we were looking for something a little bit more immediate. And the songs needed to be represented in a more immediate fashion. So, we spent a few months in Oxford making the record, and then we worked with Blank Mass, who's an electronic producer, who then reworked a lot of the stuff. And then from there we went with a producer called Leo Abrahams, and we went into Wales for a couple of weeks just to finish it off. And it was essentially about trying to find a balance between what we'd done and what Blank Mass had done and what Leo brought to the situation, but it kind of all kind of just worked in the end.
Yes, it's more electronical this time.
Yeah.
More experimental, maybe a lot of 80s synthy pop. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So is it the kind of music you have to do nowadays? So is it a must?
No, I think we just do what we feels right at the time. We take the songs into a room and we mess around with them for ages, and then they kind of find themselves along the way through production or, you know, just the way we all feel about them. And it's just the way it turns out. There's no really, we never really aim for anything. We just, you know, we all have our own space in the studio and we all create and create until it all comes together.
The cover of Violence, there are some, I don't know, ballet dancers.
Yeah.
So, and it looks quite, it looks quite aggressive.
Yeah.
At the same time, very sexual.
It's beautiful and aggressive. And it kind of, it comes across sexual. And but it's something about it. It was shot by Rahi Rezvani, who does all our artwork and videos, and he's a genius photographer based out of Amsterdam. And that's just his representation of listening to the record and what he thought it meant visually. And we were really happy with it. It's a very strong album cover. It sits up and hits you, as opposed to, you know, being all dreamy and black and white. It's very vivid. So, yeah.
Would you say that violence is always part of sex or part of relationships?
I think the violence covered on the record is more of an overarching feeling of the violence of society today. In the world that we live in, which is like a 24-hour news channel, and we're bombarded with, you know, endless right-wing, left-wing voices attacking each other, and the way the news is fed. I mean, it's every second, it's every minute of every day. It's quite a violent intrusion into your life, but that's the world we live in now. And I think that's more the violence overall, what the album's about. And you know, but then there is a violence in passion. There's a violence that goes throughout all your life, with it being, you know, relationships. I'm not really talking about domestic violence, it's more the emotional side of things. And but yeah.
Would you say it is always something bad, or can it be something, I don't know, with a lot of energy, for example?
I don't know, it depends which way you come from, it depends which way you interpret things, but, you know, we just live in a dominant kind of shouty based society now, where reason is out of the window, and we're dealing with just like people shouting from the rooftops on both sides, and nothing ever gets resolved. It's just, we live in this cycle of violent media and communications, which is it's quite tiring more than anything else.
You said that your record is never ever really political, but Yeah, at least in some songs, or as you told before, there are some references.
I don't think his lyrics are political. I think they inhabit characters and stories. I'm political, and I think everyone in that band has their own political views. We just don't choose to share that as a band. You know, I think there's some good that comes from political bands, and there's a lot of protest songs, protest bands, and that's their thing. But, you know, ultimately we're a band who are there to entertain, we're there to inform. You know, we don't wear our politics on our songs. Our politics are personal politics. I don't think you can find a group of five people who all agree on the same politics, especially not these days. So,
yeah.
You know.
And who's the one who decides which direction in the band?
Well, I think that, you know,
that could be a problem if you want to be political.
Exactly, and it's like, yeah. So you have like a. I mean, we. I think we all tend to lean towards left of center politically, and but you know that's not what we're here for. You know, you don't go to a concert to hear someone banging on about politics. You can read the newspapers for that and read authors or, you know, watch films.
Yeah, and the Song Magazine, it's about the corrupt politicians and on the one side and the capitalist businessmen on the other side.
Yeah.
And how far do they need each other? What do you think?
Well, it's just a funny one, that, because that song was written by Tom years and years ago. So that's like a 10-year-old song. It just so happens to come out at the same time as the world we're living in now. I think elements of all systems work and don't work. Communism, capitalism, you know, they're not ultimate solutions to anything. They're just guidelines. It's what you do with it that makes, you know. I mean, Jesus, we're living in a world where kids are being ripped away from their parents and kept apart in cages in America. You know, that's like, you know, if someone would have said that a few years ago, you'd be like, nah, it's not going to happen. It's happening. You know, you look at Hungary are losing free press. There's no free press in Hungary. You know, there's far-right parties in Italy. There's, you know, the conservatives in England are ruining the country and making the biggest suicidal political decision in living memory.
So what was your direction on Brexit?
Oh, just stay. I mean, what do we gain from... There's no gain. It was all lies. It was all propaganda. And that, like, rosy-coloured glasses patriotism from fucking back in the days... It's just nonsense. It's not the real world. It's not where we live in. I think it's the single biggest defeatist shoot yourself in the face political action that's ever been triggered in the modern society. It's the stupidest thing ever. And you know, we're sleepwalking into it.
The meaning of magazine, is it a magazine of a weapon? So is violence the answer? Or?
I don't know. No, I don't think violence ever is the answer. I think violence is just always there, bubbling under the surface. I mean, look at, you know, going back to America again, because so much crazy stuff is happening there at the moment. You know, look at the Charlottesville riots, far-right walks, where someone killed someone with a car. You know, violence is never the discourse is always the answer. Talking, common sense is the answer. Logic is the answer. Religion shouldn't be anywhere near politics. Shouldn't be anywhere near public decisions. Should never be anywhere near government. I think if you separate church and state, which it should be in all modern societies, then it's a lot easier. But, you know, you have, even in your country, your main parties are Christian Democrats. What's Christians got anything to, you know, most of the countries nowadays are a mixture of Muslim, Christian, you know, other faiths. So it just doesn't make sense. And most of the violence is whipped up by all those anyway. So, you know, religion causes more violence in the world than anything else. You know, in the name of whatever God, prophet.
Yeah, in the name of, I mean, religion.
Yeah, in the name
itself.
Of, I mean, it's just like... It's like,
difficult, or
you know, what happened to, you know, we're a modern society and technological breakthroughs in the last 50 years, and you know, we should be a technology-based society on logic and science and, you know, things that are testable, you know, just cold hard fact, but, you know, it seems to have gone by the wayside in recent years, which winds me up, to be honest. It does my head in. You know, I've got three kids, and I'm teaching them, you know, and you know, I don't teach them anything to do with religion. I think religion is poisonous. I think faith
can be, but don't has to be. Okay, let's come back a bit to your record again.
Yeah.
Violence is the one side, but at the same time, there's a lot of protection in it, or I don't know. Yeah, like
fragility.
And fragility, you said, or somebody of you said, it's a kind of nutshell. You can, like an escape room. How does this fit together?
Yeah, well, it's like, I think the songs are about switching off everything that we just talked about. You know, it's having an escape to the violent world that we live in. You know, not in a, lock yourself in a room forever and don't see what's happening in the real world, but it's just tiring. It's just really tiring hearing about really bad shit all the time. And I think there's a fragility on the record that shows that. You know, it's the human connection of people and, you know, the really basic fundamentals of having relationships and loving relationships and loving each other should be at the forefront of everyone's mind, but it's not. So we wrote an album about it instead.
The song after Magazine, it's the song No Sound But the Wind.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a good example for this escape room or this peaceful room. It's about fathership.
Yeah.
But the lyrics, I've read lyrics and thought this could be a refugee story. So it's nothing,
it's not safe. I think Tom wrote that after he read Cormac McCarthy's The Road, which is like post-apocalyptic father-son relationship. But, you know, it could be. And that's the thing about the times that we live in now, is that all of this fiction and all of this, like, fantasy, the worst aspects of it are coming true, you know. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous for society. It's dangerous for the kids growing up. And, you know, what kind of example are we setting to our next generations on this planet when, you know, the most powerful man in the world is a misogynist and a racist? What's that all about? You know, and then I think on the back of that, all the things around Europe, you know, the migrant crisis, the rise of populism across Europe, you know, it's not really a safe world anymore to bring kids up. Because, you know, and I think my job especially, and I think probably Tom sees it the same way as well, is to show the other side of that, you know, the loving aspects of growing up, having relationships and stuff like that. So the violence is usually referred to as the outside world.
Yes, you have the safety maybe only in your family or with your parents nowadays, and maybe when you're adult in your relationship, but it's also a kind of dependency, though it's not the best thing you can have.
Yeah, it is, you know, because there's an element of you have to prepare your kids for the reality of the real world, and everyone should be prepared for the reality of the real world. But, you know, I just think it's really dangerous. We're echoing the mid 1930s, which everyone knows led to the worst, darkest period in human history, and we're kind of echoing a lot of that now, which is quite scary. But the reality of that is you have to be aware of all this. But I think what we're saying with the record is it's okay to shut the door on it for a bit and remember what's actually real. I mean, you know, you go to any restaurant and go to anything, and 9 times out of 10 nobody's talking to anyone. Everyone's just sat playing on their phones. You know, so that kind of element of human interaction is kind of ebbing away, and it's given way to a need to know what's happening everywhere else all the time when you can't really see what's happening in front of you. because you're too busy going like this.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
It's a very strange existence.
Yeah, we have some songs about these kind of relationships. Yeah. Belong, nothingness.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Hallelujah as well. I'm not sure right now.
No, I mean Tom wrote Hallelujah.
Ah, no, Hallelujah is more like the religious with religious
well,
terms.
Well, yeah, because he came. They went to a refugee camp in Greece last year, and met people who were living in dust. And I think it was a reflection. I don't think it was about that, but it was. He wrote that after seeing that, after you know, experiencing that, and yeah. Again, it's another kind of aspect of the modern world which kind of gets glossed over. You know, there's you know, babies washing up on the shore. On the shores of apparently the free world. What, you know, in any other decade that would have been an utter outcry. But it's happening every day.
Yeah, and the music as well, you have this superficial harmony in the beginning and then this explosion, the crescent.
Yeah, I think
explosion.
That's the anger is in the guitars on that one. A really angry guitar riff. You know.
So finally it's your guitar riff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it your favourite song on stage? From the new record?
It is. No, I think the favourite one to play is Violence. I love playing that one because it's, I don't know, it just sounds so different to the rest of the songs. But I do like playing the Hallelujah riff. It's very satisfying to play that.
It reminds me so much on Muse.
Probably a little bit, yeah.
The whole song.
I've never really been into Muse, to be honest. They kind of passed me by, but I can see that. Yeah, he probably inhabits a similar world.
Yeah, but Muse is more than the noughties, isn't it? So not the '80s or what's hip nowadays.
I they were just a band that I never really bought any records of. I mean, I'm aware of them, and their crazy like sci-fi kind of existence, but yeah, it's not really my kind of band.
Do you have some other references to other bands or musicians? What do you think? I mean, I've heard some, but...
Not really. I mean, especially not when we're making a record. I tend to... Because I record the records, so... I don't really like listening to things that are around at the same time whilst we're making, because I don't want to, you know... I don't want any of it to sink in. So when we're making a record, I tend to isolate myself to just the record that we're making in. Outside of that... I listen to tons of stuff. We all listen to very different and lots of different influences in the band. But yeah, it changes for me. I tend to rely on like mid-90s American college rock a lot. Like Dinosaur Jr., Sonic Youth and Nirvana and Pixies. I don't really listen to much British music, especially nowadays. I think it's all pretty atrocious, to be honest. Generic. There's no like spark of creativity there for me. So.
It's funny because in Counting Spooks, I guess I've heard Underworld in the beginning, Queen in the middle, and The Cure in the end.
Yeah,
so three British bands.
I can definitely see that, but they're all old British bands, you know. We share a lot of that kind of. I think that's informed us growing up, but I couldn't point to a British band now that I'm like, yeah, I love these. I couldn't post a one. I don't know any of them.
Alt J, maybe.
Definitely not. No,
definitely.
No. They just sound like students, like music students.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're just. It's not a bad thing. I'm sure it'll come around again, but. Yeah, there's nothing that really excites me in the musical space. Maybe John Hopkins, maybe.
There are some good female artists.
Yeah, I mean, and so
more
there should be.
More.
Yeah, but...
especially from Britain. So.
Well, yeah, but then I always ask myself, are they better than PJ Harvey? And nine times out of ten, they're not. So, you know.
Okay, Justin, I'll leave you alone. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Good interview.